Well, good morning. I'm Darren. If we haven't met, I'm one of the new student ministers here at St. John's with the 9:30 service. And I'm a first year studying at Moore College, and I have the privilege of being able to preach to us from God's Word today, from this really wonderful passage. So why don't I pray for us to begin as before we jump into the passage. Let's pray. Father God, we do give you great thanks that you speak to us and that we have your word written. Do pray that as we hear your word today, that you might be working in our hearts, help us to understand it well, so that we might respond in faith and in love for your son Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Sometimes it seems to me like everything is out of control and there's nothing I can do about it. Have you ever felt the same way? In my experience, it can be quite overwhelming. Just take one look at the news. There's things happening close to home, like the terrible stabbing incidents in Sydney, and there's things happening worldwide as well. There's natural disasters, there's wars going on, there's politicians being exposed, there's lawsuits flying left and right, there's chaos, there's conflict, there's suffering, there's starvation, there's death. Oh, and don't forget global warming as well. It's all out of control. And what can we do about it? What can we do when everything seems out of control? Oftentimes, the answer is not much, I think. Okay then, so who can we turn to, you might ask? Who can we listen to? There are so many voices around us, and they all promise that they have the solution to fix the world. We have governments, scientists, news outlets, celebrities, our friends, even our family, and they all preach to us different and competing views on life. So, who should I listen to? Who should you listen to? Thankfully, God speaks into the chaos of the world. The God who created the whole universe and who created us speaks. He's spoken and he continues to speak through his word in the Bible. And today's passage gives us a wonderful snapshot of how God speaks and what it looks like to listen to him. Why should we listen to God above all other voices? Well, the answer lies in this unlikely story of Elijah and the widow. So, just as a brief recap, we were introduced to Elijah last week, the man that we're focusing on in our current sermon series, and it was a really brief intro. What happened was Elijah showed up out of nowhere, he declared to King Ahab that there's going to be a drought, and then he retreated to a brook, or a creek if you want to call it, in Cherith. You see, Elijah was confronting the apostasy and idolatry of Israel. And now God's drought has come upon Israel to judge them for turning away from him to idols like Baal and Asherah, just as he'd warned in the book of Deuteronomy. It's a long-lasting drought as well, since it takes Elijah about 3 years to go back and confront Ahab and then to call God to bring the rain back. And it might be hard for us to imagine how bad 3 years of droughts would be, especially when our dams in Sydney have been overflowing and flooding recently. But back then, 3 years with no rain would have been crippling. No rain means no water to grow crops, and that means no food to eat. That means 3 hard, long years surviving off of scraps and facing starvation. And it's because of this drought that the brook that Elijah's staying at, that dries up as well in verse 7. And so God speaks, and he instructs Elijah to go to Zarephath. The thing is, Zarephath is a part of Sidon, or the area that's called Phoenicia, which is a land of which is a land that Ahab's wife Jezebel comes from. This is a land of non-Israelites who worship a whole host of other gods. They worship gods like Baal and Asherah, fertility gods who are meant to bring rain and babies, and they even worship gods like Mot, the god of death. This is enemy territory, and this is where God sends Elijah. He doesn't send Elijah to someplace safe in Israel. He sends him into enemy territory. And to add to that, God says that he will provide for Elijah through a widow. Widows back then didn't have very much. Without their husband to support and provide for them, they could live quite hard lives. And so God sends Elijah to a foreign land and then promises to provide food for him through an unlikely woman. And we see when Elijah meets the widow that she and her son are on the brink of death. It's a really sad situation. She's out here gathering sticks to build a fire for their final meal, and then after that, they're going to die of starvation. Yet in spite of this, the widow listens to Elijah. He asks for water, and she complies. He asks her to give up her last bit of food, some bread for him, and she does so. Why? It's because she recognizes that Elijah speaks on behalf of God, and she trusts in his words because they are God's words. She says in verse 12, "As the Lord your God lives," and it's the living God who provides a miracle. Through Elijah, God declares that the jar of flour and the jug of oil will not be spent. And that's exactly what happens. God cares for his prophet, and he does so by graciously including this poor widow in his provision. God intimately cares for this woman and shows compassion to her family. But hold on. There's 3 years of drought, and this is the only recorded story in those 3 years. Why is this the one story we get? Why highlight Elijah's interaction with a foreign woman in a foreign land? Well, I reckon it's because God is making a statement. God shows that he has the power to withhold rain, not just in Israel, but in all the surrounding lands. It's quite ironic that in the homeland of Baal, who's supposed to be the fertility god, the god who brings rain upon the land, they still have a drought. Baal and Asherah, they're fertility gods, but here they're impotent and infertile. And that makes complete sense because they're not real gods. Instead, Yahweh, the one and true God, he's in complete control over all the land. So who brings the rain? God does. He can also choose when to withhold the rain, and he can also choose to provide for Elijah through a widow. Shows us why God is the one that we should listen to. God told Elijah that he would feed him through a widow, and he does so. God declared that they would have enough to eat, and it happened. Through this one small, insignificant family, God demonstrates that his word is the truth that powerfully provides life. And who's listening to God in the story? It's certainly not Israel. They're the ones who ignore God, and they're the ones who've brought the curse of the drought on themselves because of their idolatry. Instead, it's this foreign widow who listens. It's a non-Israelite who believes and trusts in God's word, and she trusts in God's word that he will provide life and sustenance and food. It's the same for us today. We only have the food that we eat and the water that we drink because of God's kindness and provision. But if you're anything like me, I can often forget this truth. Thanks to things like modern technology, like large-scale agriculture and water reservoirs, we often don't feel starvation and we don't lack in food and water. But despite all of that, we still need to be reminded that God is the one who provides, and he's the one who sustains by his word. You see, when the world feels out of control, who do we listen to? God. God who speaks truth, and God who powerfully provides life. Back in our story, though, things take a steep downward turn. The widow's son falls ill, and the sickness is so severe that there's no breath left in him. Or in other words, the son has died. And this caused God and his word into question. Has the widow's son been saved from hunger and starvation only now to die from illness? Is God unable to provide and sustain life? Well, the widow's response is completely understandable. She says in verse 18, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. She's speaking to Elijah, and she sees this as God's judgment on her because of her sin. Which is interesting to note, given that technically her son would have died by starving to death a long time ago if it wasn't for God providing through Elijah. But regardless, Elijah himself seems to be equally troubled. He takes her son to his lodging, and then what does he do? He prays to God. Unlike his declaration about the flour and the oil, this feels a lot more like a cry of desperation. It's an uncertain prayer. He says, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Elijah is very much aware of the suffering that the drought that he announced has brought upon people. He's not standing over people in lofty, haughty judgments, but instead, he cares deeply. And his prayer suggests that he has an even deeper emotional connection with this family who has cared for him. So it's a desperate plea for God to take action. Elijah calls upon God to show compassion and mercy in accordance with his character. Now, there's also Elijah's bizarre action of stretching himself upon the child three times, but I take it that that's a symbolic act to revive the child, kind of like an ancient version of CPR. Regardless, it's the prayer to God that is the focus here. Elijah prays and says, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." Elijah is pleading with God to revive the child. He might be uncertain whether God will do it, but he has complete confidence that it's only God who can raise the dead back to life. All Elijah could do was cry out to God, and what's remarkable is that God listens to Elijah. God demonstrates his power and trustworthiness in giving life back to the child. This is big news. This is the first recorded resurrection in the Bible up until this point. And it shows with complete certainty that God is the all-powerful provider of life. He has power even over death. In a land where people worshipped Mot, the god of death, Yahweh can raise people back to life. In a culture of idolatry where people sacrifice their own children, like when we saw last week when a man called Hiel rebuilds Jericho, instead of doing that, God, the one and true God, brings a child back to life. This is an amazing miracle of God. And then we have the widow's response to Elijah, as she says in verse 24, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." It's a bit of a bizarre response. Why does she say that? Well, I reckon it's because it's doubling down on what we've seen already. God is the one who speaks through Elijah. The widow already saw the truth of God's word in the flour and the oil, but with the resurrection of her son, she knows now for certain that God is the God of Israel and he is the one true God. He promised to provide life for her till the drought ended, and he's kept his word. God's word is the truth that powerfully provides life. And it's the same even now today for us. God's word is the truth that powerfully provides life. So when it all seems out of control, why listen to God? Why listen to God instead of all those other voices around us? Well, the answer's pretty clear. God's words are the truth that give life even to the dead. Our passage today calls us to listen to God like the widow. And like Elijah, all we can do is call out to God in prayer. God speaks to us today, and we have assurance that he listens to us when we cry out to him in prayer. And we can know this for certain, especially because of the person of Jesus. You see, when we read this story in 1 Kings, we can't help but be reminded of the parallels in Jesus' life. The historical events of the Old Testament always push us forward to look at Jesus in the New Testament. And our New Testament reading today in Luke 7 shows a clear image of Jesus as a man of God, just like Elijah. He's a man of God who is able to raise the dead back to life in God's power. And the parallels between these two stories in 1 Kings 17 and in Luke chapter 7, they're quite striking. There's a widow at the city gates in both of them, and her only son dies. In Luke 7, the widow is in great sorrow, as is the whole town, but Jesus shows his care and his compassion for her. He raises her son back to life, just like Elijah did for the widow in 1 Kings. Jesus is a man of God and a prophet, just like Elijah. But Jesus is also greater than Elijah. Unlike Elijah, he simply needs to call out to the dead man to raise him from the dead. As a son of God, Jesus has God's power to raise the dead. And in fact, Jesus is far greater because he doesn't just speak on behalf of God, like Elijah does, but Jesus is God's word to us. In John's Gospel, which we went through some of it in last term, we learn in John's Gospel that Jesus is the Word who became flesh. Jesus is the truth. God has spoken to us in the biggest and most definite way possible in the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. And this is why Jesus is able to make striking statements like the one he does in John chapter 5, about how he's been granted by the Father to give life. We're going to spend the last bit of our time in our sermon in John chapter 5, so please turn with me to John chapter 5 if you have your Bibles open. So John chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading from verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgments to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." God has the power to raise the dead and give them new life. And he has given this same power and authority to the Son. Jesus is now the one who has the authority to provide life and to give life to whom he wills. God's word is the truth, and we need to listen to him. And we can do that by listening to Jesus. If we hear Jesus and believe in him, we can receive God's powerful provision of eternal life. So, how do we respond to the story of Elijah and the widow? How do we respond in light of Jesus? Let me suggest two things. We need to listen because God's word is truth, and we should pray to God because he powerfully provides life. Why listen to God? Well, we've seen the answer again and again today. God's word is true. The widow listened and trusted God's word, and he provided for her and raised her son back to life. For us, we have God's word written down and recorded for us in the Bible. And how much greater is the word that God has spoken to us in Jesus? If we listen to God's words in Jesus and believe in him, we have the great promise of eternal life. Friends, how amazing is this? We have complete confidence that if we are in Christ, God provides us with life, eternal life. A life that will no longer be touched by starvation or disease or death. We need to listen to God's word as he has spoken to us through Jesus. But be warned though, Jesus has also told us what the consequence is if we don't listen to him and if we reject him instead. He has the authority to give life, but he also has the authority to condemn people to judgment. And so you are under God's judgment if you choose to ignore his words of truth. We need to listen to God speaking to us through Jesus and through his word in the Bible. Secondly, we should pray to God because he is the powerful provider of life. Elijah called out to God and pleaded that God might raise the widow's son back to life. The man of God had to persist in prayer, not knowing what would happen, but the God of the whole universe listened to him. How amazing is that, friends? And in our case, we can have confidence that God listens and answers us because he's given us his son Jesus. When we call out to God in prayer, we can know that he hears us because Jesus mediates for us. We can persist in praying to God, whether it be for our daily needs, whether it be for healing for the sick, whether it's asking God for his mercy on the downtrodden, or asking God to save our friends and family. We can pray for all of these things and know that God listens because he's already provided us powerfully with eternal life through Jesus. And God continues to answer and listen to our prayers, even if it's in ways that we might not expect. One of my friends was diagnosed last year with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a form of cancer, and that came as a huge shock to her and her husband and their young family. I and many of her friends and family, there was not much we could do apart from pray to God. All we could do was pray and cry out to God, because God is the one who can provide life and healing. And praise God. Her cancer's gone into complete remission now as she's gone through chemo over the last few months. On the other hand, though, I had a different friend, Esther, who passed away quite suddenly in a terrible car accident around 2 years ago. We were the same age. We were in the same year at school, and we grew up going to church together. And when I first heard that news, it just didn't feel real. How could she be gone? In the eyes of the world, her death is a tragic one, a young life that's been cut short, and that's it. But the thing is, she was a follower of Christ. She listened to Jesus' words and believed in him. And so, despite the reality of her death, I, along with her family and her brothers and sisters at church, we have complete confidence and assurance that she is alive even now, together with Christ. She listened to God, and God has listened to her and given her eternal life. And so, I can look forward to seeing her again in the new creation. So who will you listen to? Are you going to listen to God, who has spoken the truth to us in Jesus? God's words are true and life-giving. And as you pray to God, what are you going to look for God to provide for you? God's already given us the best gift ever, life eternal with Christ, even as he provides for us for our daily needs. And so we can pray and know with certainty that God listens and answers. And so on that note, let me pray for us, pray to our great God for us to close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that you listen to us. We give you great thanks that you speak to us as well, that you have spoken to us through this story of Elijah and the widow, and that you've spoken ultimately through your son Jesus in his death and resurrection. And so, Lord, we ask that you might help us to listen to you as you've spoken in the Bible and as you've spoken in Jesus. And Lord, we do ask that you might help us to keep persisting in prayer as well, that we might cast all our needs on you, knowing that you listen to us because of Jesus, and knowing the great hope that we have of eternal life with Christ. And so we pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.